it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We've got a new partner alert, DNVR fam. We've partnered with a premier dispensary for you guys with smoking hot deals to offer. Solace Meds. Solace Meds has four convenient Colorado locations, one in Fort Collins, one in Wheat Ridge, one off of Broadway, and one just blocks away on East Colfax from the DNVR bar. The coolest thing right now about these guys is they're giving away a trip to Jamaica for two in the month of April. No BS. Head into one of their six locations and sign up to win a trip to Jamaica. They'll give you all the details on how to enter, or you can visit www.solacemeds.com/sweepstakes to find out the rules. And if you go in right now when you make a purchase, be sure to use the promo code DNVR20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. There is no better way to celebrate 420 and the month of April than with some great deals at Solace Meds. For the trip to Jamaica, no purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of Colorado 21 plus or Oklahoma 18 plus. Ends April 30th, 2021. Official rules at www.solacemeds.com/sweepstakes. Void where prohibited. This raffle ends April 30th. So show these guys some DNVR love and make sure you get in before April 30th to enter to win that Jamaica trip. Let us know and tag us when you do.
Nobody out. 3-2 on Charlotte.
Jokic gets it across the timeline. Gets a high pick and pop with Murray.
Lindsay breaking through.
Taken away by Nathan MacKinnon. 2-on-2 with Landeskog.
He has done it again. Vaughn Miller, ladies and gentlemen. Dog two hands. Nikola Jokic.
Save me by Grubauer with a left pad. Oh, goodness gracious me.
Take a good look. You won't see it for long. Two-run home run. Trevor Story.
Lock. End zone. Touchdown. Sudden.
Got it! Oh, man! That's from way downtown! And the blue arrow is flying at Pepsi Center!
Score! It's too good to be true! But believe it! Oh, hail, Kale!
Welcome into the Denver Sports Podcast, presented by Breckenridge Brewery. I'm your host, Sally Monroy, and with me today, I have the core four, Drew Kreisman, AJ Hafley, Harrison Wind, and Ryan Konigsberg. And speaking of core four, what'd you say, AJ, the Avs, the Holy Trinity? We're going to talk about sidekicks today, best sidekicks in Denver sports history. We're going to go with AJ last, and that, since that one's a little bit more of a harder one. But, Ryan, let's start off with you. What is the Broncos' best sidekick?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. Because, like, sidekick,
I guess let's describe sidekick. Like, let's explain what we mean with sidekick.
Well, it's just you see, in the 1940s. Sorry.
Yeah.
Please, in this essay, I will explain. We're not doing this because the Falcon, the Winter Soldier is the hot thing right now. A show starring two sidekicks. That's not. I mean, come on, this is very timely. Don't we know what a sidekick is?
If you want to show,
are the heads of shows. So you can't be the leader of a show and still be a sidekick. I can get into this for hours. Don't worry.
If you want to watch a show with two sidekicks, you can just watch the Boston Celtics.
Hey.
Yeah, the sidekick, and I just did it. Like, the sidekick can be, I guess, viewed as a bad thing. Like, not necessarily a bad thing, but it's like, it's saying, like, you are second fiddle. And there always is one, like, and they can be great. Like, you know, for example, I guess I don't want to take any Avs ones right now, but like for the Broncos, you know, you talk about Terrell Davis, who was an MVP, a Super Bowl MVP on top of that, like a Hall of Famer. Yet in this context, I think he is the best quote unquote sidekick in Broncos history because
AJ shaking his head.
Well, good. I like when these have debate to them. But, you know, John Elway was the superhero. Like, there's no, I just don't think that's debatable. So there has to be a sidekick in this scenario, unless you want to go with multiple superheroes, in which case you're probably adding Shannon Sharpe to that mix as well. But, you know, for me, like, in terms of a 1-2 punch, the best you can have is John Elway and Terrell Davis, in my opinion. And, you know, I don't know how often they lined up in the shotgun. Probably very not often. But when they are, he's literally at his side. So that to me is why Terrell Davis is the Broncos' best candidate. But you can also go down a rabbit hole like, oh, maybe Ed McCaffrey is the sidekick to Rod Smith. Like, that almost fits the feeling of that a little more. Ed McCaffrey even looks a little bit like Robin. so, you know, that could kind of work. You could go down, like, obviously you have the Three Amigos. But to me, it's about Terrell Davis, who is absolutely could have been the lead superhero for many, many places. But the reason the Broncos were so damn good is because he got to play the sidekick role.
I think at that point in Elway's career, he was the sidekick.
That's fair.
I mean, you look at the way that they use TD, and that he probably was top three in rushing attempts during that era, you know, during those, like, that string of years where he was so dominant that got him into the Hall of Fame. They were giving him the ball 25, 30 times a game, and they were like, all right, we also have John Elway who could, it's just like, okay, just don't screw this up. He didn't have to win them games anymore because TD was doing it. And then there were times where it was like, oh, we also have John Elway as, like, John Elway in our back pocket that we can bust out. But I think at that time, I know this is more of semantics than anything, but I feel like at that point in their careers, TD was the lead dog and Elway was more sidekick.
So, like, to take this into the movie realm, which is maybe a dangerous place for me to step into.
I think it might be dangerous, but yeah, we'll go with it.
This is like the scene at the end of the movie, right? Where you think the sidekick has already been, like, captured and he's gone. And then they have the superhero, like, with, like, a knife to his throat. And then out of nowhere, the sidekick flies out and saves him. And then, everything's fine. And you know, the good guys win. That's what I think is, like, that stage of the movie where that
situation.
Yeah,
I was gonna go Batman Beyond with it for the super nerds who know that's the cartoon show where Dick Grayson actually becomes Batman and Bruce Wayne is too old to do it anymore, and so Robin is Batman now, and Bruce Wayne just hangs out and tells him all the stuff he needs to go out there and do. So that's John Elway. He's old Batman sitting there telling him all the stuff. Robin's running around out there and it's the new Batman doing all the work, but it's still. One of them's Batman, one of them's Robin. Sorry, bro. John Elway's just never. John Elway's always Batman, even if somebody else is Batman.
Yeah.
That's the point I'm trying to make here.
He's the kid at recess who got to be all-time Batman. You don't know why, but he made that rule, and you're just like, all right, well, I guess that's the rule.
Guess he's Batman all the time.
I
was going to say, do you have someone in the current Broncos team that you think would fit this description?
Yeah, the weird part about this is we haven't seen them yet, and there's a couple, like, candidates for new ones where you could talk about, like, Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy elevating into that role, but the one that everyone's been waiting for is Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, and obviously Von would be Batman in this scenario, and Chubb would be his sidekick, and we've just been robbed of seeing what these two can really do together. So that's the hope, is that they become a nice little Batman and Robin duo. And if they do that this year, you know, we'll be talking about more exciting things for the Broncos. But we just haven't seen it yet. There are some other good duos on the team. I think Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson are a nice little duo, but not quite superhero level good. I think Vaughn and Chubb are the ones that can and should be the superheroes of that defense. And Bradley Chubb is definitely not a sidekick to scoff at.
We have Nighthawk in the comments saying Chubb is the greatest sidekick name. And who needs superheroes when you have Drew?
Are we talking about Drew Kreisman or Drew Locke?
Drew got excited. We'll do Drew Kreisman.
I
should read the comic of Vaughn and Chubb.
That would be fun. Maybe we can make it.
AJ's
like, No, thank you. All right, let's move on to the Nuggets, Harrison. What do you think, or who do you think is the best sidekick? And you could give two. You like I said, you could do like old school and then current.
Well, current, I mean, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, with Jamal Murray being the sidekick. I think particularly in the NBA, so much about being a sidekick is how you fit with the Batman. Because I was thinking back to some potential top sidekicks with the Nuggets, like Carmelo Anthony and Allen Iverson. Those two didn't fit together, although Allen Iverson, like, people forget, was still near the top of his game when he came to Denver. People act like Allen Iverson was, like, a year from retiring and he was with the Nuggets. No, he still averaged, like, 25, 26 points a game. But he and Melo didn't fit together nearly as well as Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, and particularly in the NBA. I think that's so important when you're looking at, like, sidekicks. Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic both averaged 20 points a game. First Nuggets duo to do that since Melo and Iverson. And they just complement each other in such a perfect way on the court. Their personalities complement each other, I think, off the court too. So they would be my nominees.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of the inspiration of this, just thinking about like the combos of, you know, players. And obviously this is the part of the movie where the sidekick has been captured. Now Jokic has to do it all on his own. It's too bad that we can't live in a world where Jamal comes back like in the NBA finals and, you know, rescues Jokic when he needs him most. But I mean, those two are, like, to me, are one of the more exciting ones we've had in a while. And that's why it makes it so painful that, you know, they've been taken away, especially because in basketball, the sidekick can you see the chemistry between the superhero and the sidekick so perfectly. Like, they have to work together the whole time, you know, the entire game. So,
yeah.
This question basically comes from Jordan Pippen, right? Pippen's the greatest sidekick of all time. And it's like, it can have a major impact in basketball.
And I think this is like the first time out of the Avs and Nuggets that we have seen someone so important go down and not be able to necessarily come back for the rest of the season. Like this year, like, Nathan MacKinnon got hurt, but he came back. Like, the Avs have had these injuries, but like, I felt like all of Denver's breath was taken away when like Jamal went down, and you were just like, oh God, like, this is the first time we're seeing it this season, especially. And it was just so disappointing, especially like the trajectory of the Nuggets, but they're still doing well. They play tonight. So
it was like being invited to a great party and then finding out that, like, the host was just not going to be there. Like, you were really excited. You were going to go. You were going to meet all these people. You're going to have a great time. You're still going to go. You're still going to hang out. It's still going to be a good night.
It could be a really, really good party, though, but it's just not going to be as good. It's not going to be as much of a banger as it was.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's a perfect way to describe that, guys.
Yeah, it's weird how you, like, you get so attached to the journey and, like, the way that you think it happens in your head, like, if they ever reach the mountaintop. Like, I even had a thought, and it was, like, a quick passing thought and a dumb one, but I was like, man, if they did win the championship this year, it would feel so weird that Jamal wasn't part of it. And then I was like, that's stupid. But it is, like, you paint these pictures of the perfect scenario out in your head, and then even like it changing throws you for a loop to try and like repaint the picture.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why it was so crushing. Well, partly why, because everything was happening so perfectly according to plan. Like, we always talk about the "we don't skip steps" thing. And it was literally step by step, just talking about this season. Everything was going perfectly. The Jokic is going to win the MVP. Jamal Murray is averaging over 20 points a game for the first time in his career. Michael Porter Jr.'s ascending. They made the trade deadline acquisition that everybody's been wanting them to make for the last 3 years. They did everything right. And then you just get some incredible luck like that.
I will say, this happened. This crushing feeling is how I felt when the Eagles lost Carson Wentz. And a lot of people still believed a lot with a backup quarterback. It's such a different sport, but like a backup quarterback, like this can happen. And like that feeling of crushingness, you're just like, no, it's not going to be what we wanted. But then when it is that, like if the Nuggets make the finals, even without Jamal, like it'll feel weird that he wasn't there. At the very end, but like he helped build this and it's still just it'll be fantastic. But
kind of like in 2001 when the Avs lost Forsberg after the Kings series for the rest of the playoffs, and then they win the Stanley Cup without him and he just comes like walking out onto the ice and like holds up the cup and you're like, this is weird.
Well, I really think there's an aspect of like do it for Jamal that's going to galvanize Denver over the next couple of weeks. Who knows if it will last? Who knows if it will carry over into the playoffs and they'll just get this jolt of like energy from not having him and wanting to do it for him. Who knows if it will last to that point, but I think over the next couple of weeks, the next month, that can be very real.
So who is it? Michael Porter Jr. who has to step up? And I mean, we saw it last game that he had 22 points at the end of the night, Harrison, but does it have to be him to step up in Jamal's absence?
Yeah, that's the silver lining. I mean, a sidekick like Jamal Murray goes down and somebody's going to have to step up. And Michael Porter Jr. is the only guy who could potentially step into that role. And yeah, I mean, I think he definitely can, and I think it's just going to be a great test. It's going to be fascinating to see how he handles it over the next couple of months. I've got to think he's just absolutely hyped to have this opportunity, though. I mean, we've talked about it all year, but he has so had to expertly fit his offensive game around Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. Now he's got to adjust it again, but I've just got to feel like he has to be really, really excited to take on this new responsibility and just like this heightened pressure that's going to be thrust upon his shoulders, because I think he's built for it. I think he's absolutely built for it. He's, you know, he's the former number one recruit. He's the former top guy who has had to kind of shift into the background over the last 2 years, but I think he's absolutely built for it.
I love like the way that he played in the last game was so encouraging to me, and it's what I expected, but it was just so great to see it. Like, I just felt like he woke up that day and was like, oh, it's my turn to be a superstar now. Like, cool. Give me the rock. You know, like he just seemed so prepared and ready. And it was just like completely natural for him. And the way that he shoots the ball, like when you watch him play, it's just like, oh, more volume just means more production. Like, it's like, it's so obvious to me. It's just like, oh yeah, give him the ball more, let him shoot more good things happen.
Yeah, it's unreal. Like the contested threes that he takes, that's a good shot for the Nuggets offense.
Yeah,
it really is. If it's in a catch and shoot, because Michael Porter Jr. is shooting like around 50% on catch and shoot threes this year, and a lot of those are very tightly covered. A lot of those are very contested, but he hits them because nobody can block his shot, and he elevates so high, and his jumper's gorgeous. As Vic Lombardi would say, it's erotic.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, also, if Rudo was here, he would turn that into a Manscaped read, but we're not going to let him. He's not here, and he better not be in the comments trying to do it.
I'm also convinced he has the best swish in the NBA. Like, it's like a heavy swish.
It's such a high arc too.
Yeah, it just like rips in there. Through there.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Michael Porter Jr., Michael Porter Jr. won me some money two nights ago on DraftKings Sportsbook. I had bet the over on his three-pointers, which was set at 2.5. Right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering everyone 100% profit boost on any NBA bet today. So, Ryan, Harrison, what are you guys thinking for this one?
Oh, no.
Nuggets play the Rockets. The spread is at 8.5.
Sorry, I'm distracted. Apparently, Donovan Mitchell just took a really bad injury on the court in Utah, which sucks. Really?
Yeah. I think it's bad, but not like – not season.
Not Jamal bad. What was the question again? What's a good bet for tonight?
Yeah, so the Nuggets are taking on the Rockets tonight. DraftKings Sportsbook is offering 100% profit boost on any NBA bet. The spread is at 8.5, over under set at 226.5. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about him on the bet show. We call him Money Printer Jr.
Okay, so you're going with MPJ.
I'll go MPJ threes tonight as my, if I only get to pick one.
What about you, Harrison? What are you thinking?
Let's see. What's Porter's points at here? 20.5. His threes are at 2.5.
I think the 21.5 is the highest it's been all season.
Yeah. I like him over 21.5 too. I also like Jokic for another triple double though.
Oh, okay.
Because the Rockets are bad, but they don't exactly get blown out.
Mm.
Have you seen what the juice is on Jokic to get a triple-double tonight?
No, what is it? Like super low?
It's plus 120.
Jesus. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Take the Porter threes. That's a good one.
Porter threes?
The DraftKings Sportsbook is almost telling you that it's a statistical likelihood for Nikola Jokic to get a triple-double. Like, they're saying it's like a 45% chance.
Yeah. Porter's also taking so many threes now. Like, he took 12 threes against Boston, 7 against Golden State, 6 last or 2 nights ago. So he's getting the attempts up.
Yeah.
He's getting a hit.
Yeah. Eric Weedham, D-Lion, he swears by Jokic assists, and right now it's over under 10.5. And last game, he did hit his assists.
He's hit it like 10 in a row.
So I think I'm going to go with Jokic assists, but you guys should get in on this at DraftKings Sportsbook. And right now, all new users are getting a chance to turn $1 into $100. It's that simple. Pick any basketball team to win their next game. And if you do that, if during the game the team of your choosing hits a three, you bring home $100 in free bets. New users get all these great bets, profit boosts and all that, but so do current users. So definitely check that out. Download the top-rated Sportsbook app now and use the promo code DNVR when you sign up, again, to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code DNVR. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We also got to talk about some Strava Craft coffee. I think that's what I'm going to do as soon as we finish this podcast is go downstairs to our cold brew tap. I love Strava. Oh, I'm very jealous of you.
Mm-hmm.
I love Strava Craft Coffee. So do all of our members. They have been one of our longest partners. Like I said last week, they were one of the first people to ever sponsor the Daily Sports Report like 4 years ago. We really, really love them. And right now, they need your help. They're not feeling the love as much as some of our other partners. So they're giving a new promo code. And I'm trying to find that new promo code right
now. DNVR25.
25 for 25% off. Before it was 20, adding an extra 5% to get you guys some good deals on some coffee. Like I said, they're not feeling the love. And we've told you guys, supporting our partners truly helps support us. So check them out. DNVR25 for 25% off. They have such great coffee, cold brew. They have for your Keurig. They have it all. So definitely check it out today. Drew, let's move on to you. Who do you think is the best sidekick in Rocky's history?
So there are actually a lot of candidates for this, but I also think the winner is pretty clear. I think the best sidekick in Rocky's history is Charlie Blackmon. I mean, he's on the team now. He's never been the best player on the Rockies at any point during his career. In fact, the best season in his career was 2017. He was breaking all kinds of records. Like, he was breaking some Ty Cobb records. When you're reaching back to, like, 1910s baseball, and you're like, what is going on here? He was doing absolutely phenomenal stuff. Highest he's ever finished in MVP voting. It was fifth. Right ahead of him in fourth place, Nolan Arenado on his own team. Excuse me, Josh Fuentes, his cousin. I guess this is the NBR Rockies podcast, so I can say it here. But the cousin beat him out by one. And that's always been the case, whether it was early on in his career when it was still Helton, Cargo were still around. You know, then it goes to the cousin, and now it's, you know, he's on the other side of his. His best days are behind him. I think we're still going to see some pretty good Charlie Blackmon out there. He's been bad to start the season. I think he'll be fine, but obviously Trevor Story is the Batman right now. And so it's just kind of, it's tough, man. A lot of it's timing, but Charlie Blackmon has been a great Colorado Rocky. In fact, I think by the time his career is said and done, you'll look at all the stats and you'll say, like, he was the second greatest Colorado Rocky of all time. But he was never the individually best player on any Rockies teams. It's kind of a bummer.
Is it weird though? Like, last season, would you have called him the sidekick to Nolan, or was that Trevor?
Well, yeah, I mean, Trevor definitely had the better all-around season. It was just quieter because he didn't hit 400 for the first, like, 3 weeks the way Charlie did. He got off to such a hot start. But really, Trevor did still have the best, you know, by the fancy numbers, by the WAR, and even by, you know, his batting average and slugging by the end of the season, his homers and stolen bases, all that stuff. playing a premium position at shortstop. That's another thing where you kind of go back to some of these other guys. I think Carlos Gonzalez is another really interesting example, because Troy Tulowitzki was always there before that. Todd Helton, those guys at their best were probably better, more impactful players. But Cargo, not than Helton, but certainly than Tula, was around for a lot longer, had the longevity of it. So, you know, it's a, I don't know. I don't like calling Carlos Gonzalez a sidekick feels weirder somehow. Yeah. But Charlie Blackmon has sadly sort of always felt like one. It always felt like there was somebody else grabbing headlines whenever Chuck has been especially nasty.
Yeah, it's really interesting with, like, the calling a guy a sidekick, because I think Cargo and Tulo, that's like the most, I don't know, like, it, when you think of, like, Rocky's tandems, it's like that, or it's Helton and Walker. Helton and Walker, that one's really hard to call someone there a sidekick.
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't have done sidekicks and just been, like, dynamic duos, because I feel like a lot of people are thinking sidekick in a negative, more like saying, like, Cargo being a sidekick seems like wrong. Like, maybe if it was like dynamic duos, it would feel different.
I think Cargo was the sidekick. Like, I think it's fair to call him the sidekick to Tulo of those teams.
Yeah, I think the one thing where it gives people the most pause is, again, it'd be like watching, you know, a Batman show, and every other week Batman is kidnapped and Robin is, because Tulo wasn't there so often, right? So it was like, we got a lot more of Cargo during those years. It felt as much like it was, and he was hurt sometimes too, but he actually did play a bit more often. And so it's just kind of funny. He felt a little bit more like the face of the team.
They're like, I really like Batman, but this season he hasn't been on the show at all.
A lot of Robin this season.
I get, like, a character, you know, development episode, but this is a whole season of character development.
AJ, I was just gonna say, because you mentioned Walker and Helton, I do think early in Helton's career, because of the way those matched up, I do think early on there was a Helton was kind of the sidekick to Walker. But then obviously took over after a while. So that's the best dynamic duo in Rocky's history for sure. Yeah. Although it is bizarre that when their two best players were on the team, that's the darkest time in terms of winning percentage and lost years and getting anywhere near the postseason in franchise history. Helton basically comes into the picture after 97 when they had three straight years of being above 500. 98, Galarraga out, Helton in. And they start being terrible. And then they trade Walker in 2004. Then Helton takes over 05, 06, Holiday. Those guys come in. And then the team got good again. So it's so bizarre that they have two legitimate Hall of Famers in their franchise history. Both of them were on the team at the same time. Those guys were god awful.
Yeah. Didn't they at one point have Nolan Story, LeMahieu? They had all three. Like, that's three. They had their best infield in the history of the franchise, except for first base, all together at one. Or
no,
was
that. There was a point. Now, this is a little bit of a stretch, because you've got Todd Helton at the very end of his superpowers, and you've got DJ LeMahieu in training well before he would become what he would become. But there was a time when it was Todd Helton in 2014, Helton at first, LeMahieu at second, Troy Tulowitzki at shortstop. Yeah. And what's his name?
Oh, yeah, my cousin.
And that guy.
Josh Fuentes. And the cousin. So yeah, they Josh Fuentes' like, cousin was playing third back.
They had the Fran – like, if you were to do, like, the Build the Rockies best right. team ever, they had like the whole infield together at one time.
Wow. Yep.
Although, I might pick Story.
Those guys could not pitch. Kyle Kendrick was the opening day starter for that team.
The Rockies are like a round of golf, right? Like, if your putting's good, your driving's bad.
Yep.
I'm learning that. Speaking of golf, we have got the DMVR Golf Tournament, the DMVR Golf Shootout. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Coming up on Saturday, April 24th. It is going to be the first of hopefully many, but it is going to be so much fun. I'm very excited. I'm hoping both my driver and my putter does well, but I feel like that's just not golf. So,
well, the good news is it's a scramble. So if your putter is working, yeah, I know you don't. if your putter is working and one of your teammates' drivers is working, then you'll be fine.
Oh, right. It's like you go based off of your partner. Like I would hit the driver, then someone else. No? Oh, sorry.
Everyone on your team hits every shot, and then you get to pick the best one every single time.
That sounds like a lot of fun. So people who are new to golfing, don't be intimidated by this. We want you guys to come out as well. I am learning. I'm getting there. Same with Spencer's girlfriend, Kylie. We've got Lindsay trying it out. We've got a lot of people who might not be the best at golf, but just want to go have fun. So definitely sign up. We've got Flyby Cygnus in the comments saying he just signed up. I think we are close to capacity on it. So go do it now.
Capacity.
30 spots.
Left. An open invitation to Garrett Atkins. No, I haven't heard back yet though.
What about Spilly and Corey?
Unfortunately, those guys are working this day. I talked to Kyle Freeland. If he wasn't working to get back on the field, he would be there. I promise you. But actually, we might be able to get Garrett Atkins out to one of these. He lives in the area. He loves to golf. We'll see if we get him.
That'd be so fun. We are planning to do, like I said, more of these, more golf stuff where we get the community around. So it's going to be fun. Hopefully some players will come around, all that good stuff. So check that out on DMVR Golf. You can follow all of their stuff for that. But also, it's a perfect time to become a member. If you haven't become a member, we've got our community in the chat giving recommendations on what alcohol they should go buy at the liquor store. Like, our community is just a family that, like, great teamwork. Y'all, thanks for the help. They went through scotch. They went through whiskey recommendations, canned wine. Like, that is just a look into the DMVR Discord, the DMVR Lounge. There's a food channel. There's a drink channel. There's actual sports where you get to talk about everything that happened today with the Avs and Melvin Gordon being on our Broncos show this morning. Those chats are always just going off full of diehard fans, and it's so much fun. And like I said, it's so much like a community. And right now, we have a fun new perk for the next 300 members. If you sign up to become an annual DMVR member, not only do you receive a free shirt of your choice from the DMVR locker, but you'll get a recovery holistic stick from Holistic Wellness. Holistic Wellness is all about the CBD. You guys on this podcast know by now how much we love CBD. So definitely check it out. You get, as a member, you'll get this holistic stick, you'll get a shirt, and you will get a membership to DNVR. Highly recommend all of them. AJ, let's end this topic with you.
What's up? How's it going? How are you?
You were not excited about the sidekick phrasing. And why is that when it comes to the Avs?
Well, they've just never really had, like, I think they actually have one now, but when you talk about, like, the glory days, right?
Yeah.
It was like, which of these five Hall of Fame players are you going to call a sidekick? You're going to call Ray Bourque a sidekick? Rob Blake? You know, you're going to Joe Sakic, Peter Forsberg, Patrick Waugh? Which one of those guys are you calling a sidekick?
I'll say this. This is the main take I have, but I have to leave in a second. I think that Joe Sakic is the superhero. I mean, his nickname was literally Super Joe, and he wore the C on his chest. So, to me, like, he is the superhero. Now, those other guys, kind of in the same vein as Terrell Davis, could have all been superheroes in different situations. But in this case, I think the main character is Joe Sakic.
Yeah, I tend to agree that Forsberg, if you have to pick a sidekick, it was Forsberg. The weird thing is that they weren't very good together. Like when Forsberg played and they didn't ever play Sakic on Forsberg's wing. They played Forsberg on Sakic's wing.
Huh.
And they weren't great together.
Right. Like it's called, there's no J in the amp line.
Yeah. Like the, and then like, if you want to talk about like Hayduk and Tanga and Chris Drury, and it's like,
yeah, that's what we got in the call.
All right, great. You're like seven dudes into your roster. So you have found a sidekick. You know, like is Adam Foote the sidekick behind Rob Blake and Ray Bourque? Like, that team was just too comically stacked.
Patrick Wall was the superhero, and everyone else was the sidekick. And
nothing
else.
Well, wow.
I think, great.
There could Patrick be only Wall. One Superman who wears the cape.
That's big certainly cape. Patrick Wall's opinion. is that the world is his sidekick, and he's the man. I'm not gonna like litigate the glory years and be like and designate these That's guys fine. Are the sidekicks, but today I think there is a clear cut sidekick, and it is Mikko Rantanen.
The comments are freaking out. They're telling me to play the Mikko Rantanen song.
It's Mikko. Like Nathan MacKinnon is your superstar. He's your leading man. He's your special talent up front. Cale Makar is your special talent on the back end. The other sidekick would be Sam Girard. So, do you want to Sam Girard or Mikko Rantanen? Which sidekick do you want?
I mean, Mac and Mikko is a perfect name for a superhero duo.
And like Sam Girard's going to get Norris votes this year, so pretty good sidekick there.
Sam Girard's the person whose name has been dropped who most looks exactly like a sidekick. Like he fits every traditional definition of what you think of when you think of like dude, like plucky, just energy filled, spinning around all over the place. I love it when people tag me. I get tagged more in Sam Girard highlights than anything else because people know I love spinnies.
If you're talking about like energy they give off, I feel like Faku on the Nuggets gives off like that sidekick energy. I don't think he's like a superstar, but like the energy he gives is very like, oh, I'm going to try my hardest. It's very...
Faku is like the one guy who comes, he's the character who comes on every other episode, but most popular character.
Right. I think try hard energy is a different thing than sidekick energy.
Okay.
Because like if you want to get into try hard energy, you know, it will probably take Avs fans 10 seconds to bring up Dan Hynote in the chat. You know, everybody loves 15 point Dan Hynote like crazy. They love that guy. You know, they Matt Calvert these days, like Matt Calvert is the guy everybody loves. He can't stay healthy.
And I think we also helped with that with Denim Daddies and jorts and all of that. I think we played little bit of a role in that.
We might have increased his legend a little bit, but he is the exact archetype of like the guy that every hockey fan is going to lose their mind over.
So we have someone in the comments saying Faku is a character that dies to give the main character the boost they need to rise above their limits.
Totally.
And then can Makar be Batman and Taves or Girard be Twin Robin as the best pair there is what Brechton is saying.
I. Sure. It's funny because like Makar's the best player of the three, but Girard and Taves is the best pairing in the NHL.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to make of that. I don't know how to make a sidekick out of that. I would still say it's probably Sam Girard, just because Girard and Makar are going to be here for 10 years doing their thing, and Devon Taves will be a. He's here for a couple of years. But I think Rantanen is the ultimate, like, actual sidekick here. Especially, you know, and through no fault of his own, because Nathan MacKinnon hasn't missed enough time And every time McKinnon gets hurt, the league shuts down or the Avs go on a pause or whatever. So we don't get to see extended periods of time of how does Mikko Rantanen do without Nathan McKinnon?
Yeah.
Because he's never played without him. It's Mikko Rantanen is the most common line mate. Well, at least one of his most common line mates every single year of his career has been Nathan McKinnon. They've been together since 16-17. They're going to remain together for all of eternity because they just work that well. I mean, they're gonna chase down all of the Hajduk and Sakic records together.
Love it.
That's the best thing possible.
Oh yeah.
That's the best. I mean, that's why Jokic and Murray are great Batman and Robin or sidekick and main guy duo too. They're going to be here. Dynamic duo.
Well, their ability, like that they work so well together, that they bring out the best in each other, that they help elevate each other. I mean, what McKinnon and Rantanen have is what teams dream about on draft day.
Sure, yeah.
You know, what Jamal and Jokic have, it's like, it's why you go to the draft floor, because you're like, oh, we need some franchise players and we want a couple guys to build around for a really, really long time, and all the other pieces can kind of come and go as needed, but these guys will be the constant, you know. But Murray and Jokic is going to be this era's Stockton and Malone.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, in the NBA, it's like you said, it's what you want. You want the guard and you want the big.
Yeah.
It's how all, well, not all, because over the last, you know, decade, it's been a little different with the Warriors. But before that, it was how all great teams were built, really.
Yep.
You know, other than a team with Michael Jordan, like Shaq and Kobe, Parker and Duncan.
You know, yep.
Stockton and Malone.
We've got people in the comments saying that monologue was good for my soul. AJ Rance helped my day go from blah to outstanding. I mean, I had to make for everyone watching this little, where did I put it? Banner for when AJ went on a rant. nice. Just cheering him on. If you want to listen to AJ rants or monologues, they're fantastic. AJ, embrace it. We love it.
It is. It's a weird thing to me, but as long as people like it, I mean, it's cool.
You make people want to run through walls. And AJ does that. Another reason to be a DMVR member in our writing. Harrison does this too. Like, Drew, you as well. There are such great articles. AJ gets you so freaking hyped. I'm like, oh, my God. It's incredible.
On the other hand, I wrote about Infinity Stones today. So, you know, it's just, look, ball club's not very good, folks.
Yeah,
in case anybody's curious, it's Jonas Donskoy as the third Av who tested positive.
And he wasn't feeling well, but they thought it was because of the shot. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, the Avs have had three of their next games postponed due to COVID-19 on outbreak in the team. So they will not be playing tonight, Sunday, or Tuesday, I believe was the third one.
Yeah.
He's also in question. Postponed tonight. It's set for a doubleheader tomorrow, but it's also supposed to start snowing at like 1 o'clock tomorrow, and they're supposed to start at 3. We'll see.
Exactly. The Rockies is due to the snow. But we've just got the Nuggets on tonight. It's going to be a fun night at the DMVR bar. We are following all COVID-19 guidelines and protocols, but come down. If you haven't been down here and you're a Nuggets fan during a Nuggets game, I know the vibes were dampened with Jamal Murray being injured, but it's still just such a fun environment to be in and to hear the cheers and everything like that, especially if you can't make it down to the stadium. So highly recommend coming down tonight. Or they don't play Saturday or Sunday. Nuggets are off Saturday or Sunday. So definitely come down tonight. Before we wrap up, we are going to play Who Won the Week.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's going to be a real depressing one.
What if, like, theoretically, like, the team that you cover didn't score this week?
They broke the score.
They did. They did actually score some runs. I'm just saying.
Well,
they didn't win any baseball games.
Someone asking you like guys let a 19-year-old in the bar. We are all ages as to a certain point at night. But I would just call the bar and double check that. But you can come down here, especially over the weekend during the day. But I think you might have to be with an adult if you are 19, like after 9 o'clock. So just a little note. But no, who won the week is going to be fun. We're going to listen to the song. It's going to be great. It's going to put everyone in a happy mood. First, Chevalier Mortgage, whether you're looking at refinancing your current mortgage or buying a new house, Mike and Virginia will make the process as simple and smooth as possible. Visit them at dnvrmortgage.com and enter to win a free DNVR shirt or hat of your choosing. When you do, most importantly, go set up a free consultation to discuss all of your options. That's dnvrmortgage.com. Mike and Virginia will work tirelessly to find the best loan for your situation. Visit them at dnvrmortgage.com and enter to win a free DNVR short air hat when you do. Michael Chevalier, NMLS 1931006. Virginia Chevalier, NMLS 1910631. I'm getting better at the, at the pace of it, you know.
Let's go.
Okay. Let me get the song because we need the music. That we needed that to help us. Oh my goodness, are you really not going to let me do this? Please. Okay.
Who did the most? Who did the least? Who was the dog and who was the beast? Who's in the boat and who's up a creek? Let's see. Who won the week?
It almost didn't want it to happen, but it did. Let's play Who Won the Week. Drew, let's start with you.
Okay.
I know you're so excited. No,
I've got this.
But we, I mean, you only got three people to compete with, or two other people to compete with today. So,
well, that's
better something. Odds for you. Yeah. All right, go.
All right, Ryan McMahon won the week. The Colorado Rockies didn't do great, but Ryan McMahon has come out of the gate absolutely hot. He's hit 6 home runs already so far this season. But in addition to that, he's been getting hits without that. He's batting over 300. He's slugging 755 right now with an OPS plus of 169. And that's all while he's been going back and forth between playing second base and third base. We've been expecting Ryan McMahon to become an all-star for years, and it looks like it's actually happening in front of our eyes. It's been the most fun thing about the Rocky season so far on the field.
Time.
Ryan McMahon won.
Someone is saying WTF is a sidekick in Denver sports. Go listen. Go listen to this entire show.
Your little thing at the bottom.
40 minutes on it. So yeah.
That'll help you out. All right. Harrison, you are up next. Go.
Michael Porter Jr. won the week because with Jamal Murray out of the lineup, Michael Porter Jr. has a chance to ascend into stardom. He has a chance to become a star over the next couple months and into the playoffs, because if the Nuggets want to advance past the first round in the playoffs, it's going to be largely up to Michael Porter Jr. if he can step into that role. And I've got to think he's been waiting for this opportunity for the last couple of years, playing behind Jokic and Murray. So Michael Porter Jr., he's got all the opportunity in the world. He won the week.
Okay.
Although I hate to say it.
I don't know about that.
All right, AJ.
No, it's all true. He's going to get crushed.
Why did the Avs win the week before today?
I mean, the Avs win the week because they didn't lose any games. What was it? Ryan McMahon was slugging 755. Well, the Avs are winning at a 744 clip, which is tops in the NHL. They're first in the NHL. They have a 4-point lead over second place Vegas, who is also happens to be in their own division. They just don't lose games. They responded to a beatdown by Minnesota by winning 4 in a row. They're number one, and you know, they're dope. I mean, what do you say?
They're dope.
In the easiest layup of the week, where everything didn't go that great in Denver sports, the Avs just kept rolling along until today.
Yeah, I feel like this happens every once in a while. It's not like one bad thing happens to one team. It's like a trickle effect. It's just like a few weeks of like, oh, badness.
Well,
and
like
badness over Denver.
When a bad thing happens to the Nuggets or the Avs, And then it's during baseball season. Like, the Rockies' general existence at this point like makes the scene feel not great. And like the Broncos like transition into being irrelevant over the last 5 years has made it so that it's like, okay, things are either going awesome with the Avs or Nuggets, or we're kind of in shaky territory here.
Drew's face.
I don't know what you're talking about. Everything's awesome. Nuggets are going all the way. The Avs are going all the way. Rocky's going nowhere right now, but they'll be good again one day, someday. I promise you that.
Baseball's a cycle.
I will say, the Colorado Rockies could very easily be an absolute miserable watch. And I know some people, if they lose, you're miserable. And if that's the case, sorry, going to happen. But beyond that, if you can get joy out of watching young guys battle to get better, find their spot, improve from game to game, and watch guys like Ryan McMahon break out, guys like Austin Gomber finding his footing. It's actually been a very fun team to watch play, with the occasional, like, once a week just getting totally destroyed. But they're not going to play the Dodgers all season. It's going to be a fun year. They're not good. It's going to be fun.
I think that's a great approach to it.
Interesting way.
I mean, you know, like, it's
people
it's,
are going to be mad about
fun in this year, Drew. If you can have fun in this year, man, I applaud. Like, that's what it's all about.
I have seen some bad Rockies teams where like the average age was 31. I talked about that 2014 team earlier that was going nowhere. Kyle Kendrick was their opening. Their entire rotation was nobody's. Their best players were either Todd Helton, who was way past his prime, Troy Tulowitzki was hurt all the time, or these young guys who weren't good yet. And then, you know, right now it's just like, at the very least, Raimel Tapia is going out there every single day and getting a base hit. Wow. Every single damn time. Garrett Hampson is taking a billion pitches, and every time he gets on base, he steals second and sometimes third. You know, Sam Hilliard doesn't make contact very often, but when he does, it goes 450 feet. Like, they're entertaining. They're not good, but I've seen some bad and boring Rockies teams over the years. This team is bad and not boring yet.
I don't like your comment, Nighthawk. I was rolling my eyes and giving you a bad look, not anyone on this panel. Get out of here. We love you, but we also don't like you.
What I like about the Rockies is that, like, the expectations are gone. The last couple of years, there have been certain expectations, and that made their shortcomings 10 times more frustrating to sit through, because you just felt like there was so much better from these guys. And now that's out the window. If they win, it's a good day to be a Rockies fan. If they lose, it's a regular day to be a Rockies fan.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Like, it's just they're now, like, free of the burden of expectations. Nobody expects a single good thing from them. Right. And so it's like, okay, like, is this a good, healthy place to be? No, of course not. But when it comes to like a day-to-day approach of, you know, especially when it's your job, how do I make this interesting, or how do I make this passable? How do I make this not a miserable experience to go to Coors Field all the time? Like, there are things to watch. Watching young guys come into their own or not is at least a storyline. It's not like watching an old bad team just flounder its way to irrelevant status where nothing is accomplished.
Right.
Like, all you do is play out that season because you have to.
Right.
Like,
I feel like I'm learning more every time I watch a game. Where last year, it's kind of like you were talking about. Like, they last year, they lose to the Dodgers the way they did this last night, right? Where they're up 5-3. And then a 3-run jack, and they end up losing 7-5. The bullpen blows, and you're going, because of this, the team's not going anywhere. But and you're all focused on that. And now I'm like, okay, but what did we learn? Okay, maybe this guy's got it going on a little bit. Josh Fuentes made another fantastic play. Like, okay, he really looks locked in defensively. McMahon's bat is still going. These other guys are struggling. They may not be a part of the future, but at least I'm learning stuff. Where last, you know, when 17 and 18, everything was a battle about whether or not they could keep up with the Dodgers. And now it's like, the Rockies are supposed to be the worst team in baseball. The Dodgers are the best team that we've seen in baseball in 20 years. Goodman was on the Rockies podcast. Drew Goodman, he's seen a lot more baseball than I have, and I've seen a lot. And this might be the best baseball team he's ever seen in his life. So the Rockies go out there, and they're up in the seventh, and they end up losing the ball game. You're not like, oh, man, how could we lose to those guys?
What happened? Like, man.
They're better than you are. That's what happened, and you almost got them. And sometimes almost getting them is kind of fun. With a group of kids who, you know, again, it's the Mighty Ducks thing, AJ. It's maybe I just watched that movie too many times. It's like they're barely able to skate at the beginning of the movie. And then by the end, you know, you watch them, hey, they can skate now.
Hey. We've got someone in the comments saying Drew's enthusiasm and optimism is the best thing about the Rockies.
Appreciate you.
And then Nighthawk came back and said, Drew makes me love the Rockies more. See, we got a love-hate relationship with Nighthawk. Mostly love, but some comments. I'm like, Nighthawk. But, all right, guys, that is going to do it for this episode of the Denver Sports Podcast. Thanks for hanging out. If you guys have some topics you guys want us to discuss, definitely send them my way. I've had a few of you send me messages in our DMVR Lounge Discord. Appreciate that always. We've covered, I think, almost every possible topic. At least we're getting up there on, like, looking back and best and worst. But keep throwing them our way because we really love it. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Friday. And I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your weekend. And that the snow kind of stops. But Lindsay's going to yell at me because of moisture. So I don't want you, Lindsay, to yell at me.
I got that talk, too.
Yeah.
I was like, I hate the snow. And
yep. Katie's don't like, never say that around Lindsay.
Right.
What, AJ?
We need the moisture. It's very important for the environment.
I don't know what this moisture talk is.
Well, Lindsay was this is a long thing. Lindsay grew up on a farm. Moisture's good. Moisture helps our environment. Yeah. And she doesn't like when people complain about it. But I mean, it was nice weather. So
I don't want to walk in it. And I like
Drew's like, I want to go to a baseball game and not in a blizzard.
Yeah. Right. I was at the bar last week in shorts and a t-shirt because it was 65 degrees and beautiful out. And now it's snowing again. And it's like, it's perfectly acceptable to be like, it's the middle of April. We're over this. Yeah. There's a time for snow. And like, we've reached the end of it where we're just like, all right, we're done with this.
AJ, I don't even know if you want to have the conversation with Linz, but tell her this. We have a lot of Nuggets fans in the comments. The DNVR Bets Daily Show is about to go live, talking Nuggets, prop bets, all that good stuff, profit boosts. Check that out. And then after that, we've got the DNVR Nuggets pregame show. So stick around on our YouTube channel, guys. Bye.